Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series on rest in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I experience the need for rest in Christ every day. Free to rest is our topic of today's study. We're glad you're with us. And welcome to the team. Good to be together. Take a look at each other. We look like the world. That's awesome. 200 countries represented in Hope Sabbath School. We're also excited to welcome some of our team members remotely. We've got Marianella with us from California. Marianella, great to see you. We've got Addison with us from British Columbia. Addison, good to see you. And Shayna from Maine. Shayna, good to see you on our team again today. Great to be together. We're excited that we can study the Word of God. And here's a few emails from friends around the world. Marlene writes to us from Peru, living in Ohio. That's a trip, isn't it? My name's Marlene from Peru, currently living in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Hope Sabbath School team is a blessing for me. Amen?
Amen.
I discovered the class when in quarantine. And since then, I watch the program every week. God bless everyone on the team.
Amen.
With you, I'm not only learning more about the Bible, but I'm improving my English as well. I would like to teach my co-workers about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? Marlene, yes. Thanks for writing to us from Ohio. And what a beautiful desire. She says, thank you and may God keep this class going until Jesus returns.
Amen.
Thanks for writing to us, Marlene. Here's a note from a little island of St. Eustatius. Does anyone know where that is? It's in the Caribbean and it's small. St. Eustatius, on behalf of my mother and I, Louise writes, we'd like to thank you and your team for the clear studies on Hope Sabbath School every week. God has blessed you. And you've been a blessing to us with your godly wisdom. And we say, praise God, right? Only by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. May God continue to bless you all. Well, Louise from the beautiful island of St. Eustatius, thanks for writing to us. Here's a note from a donor in California. And the donor writes and says, I would like to thank you all for the special programming you offer all around the world. You've made studying the Bible each week a beautiful event. Amen?
Amen.
That's beautiful. I've been watching your program for the past year, and I wish I had started long ago. The Bible becomes alive, and with your help, we could make it an enjoyable study period. Thank you so much. I wish I could thank every one of the team members in person. Please accept this gift. And may God bless Hope Sabbath School and a gift of $100 to bless the ministry of Hope Sabbath School. Thank you, donor from California. You know who you are, even though we don't read names of donors. And thanks to each one of you who goes to hopetv.org/donate, clicks on the button, and just thanks for being part of this global donor-supported ministry. Well, Pamela writes from the beautiful island of Barbados. We're on islands today, Billy. I really love studying the Bible with Hope Sabbath School. I live in Barbados. Look forward to the study every week. May God continue to bless your ministry as you share the love of Jesus and the hope of salvation with the world. That's our goal, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just information, right, Jason?
Yes.
It's what?
Salvation.
It's transformation, isn't it? It's salvation. Absolutely. One last note. From Brenda in Australia, on the other side of the world for us. I just wanted to say how much I love Hope Sabbath School. Everything about it, the scripture songs, the discussions by panel members, the sharing times, the study of the Word of God. Thank you. It's an important part of my Christian family. And honestly, your testimonies are so refreshing and encouraging. We'll hear some today. With warmest regards and God's richest blessings, a regular watcher from Sydney, Australia. Well, Brenda, thanks for writing to us. Isn't it wonderful to hear from people around the world being impacted by the Word of God? You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. But right now, we have a scripture song to sing. It's our theme song for this series based on Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Let's sing together. What a beautiful theme song. And I want to invite you, if you'd like a copy of that song, plus 11 other beautiful scripture songs as a gift from our Hope Sabbath School team, all you have to do is go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, click on Get Free Gift button. That's simple. And you'll get a link to download those 12 songs, including the beautiful theme song for this series. Right now, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, especially those beautiful words of Jesus. And as we study from the healing ministry of Jesus today and other healing blessings in the Bible, may we realize that we are free to rest when we rest in you. Please guide our study in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to start our study in Mark chapter 2, and it's an amazing story, Sabina, if you'd be willing to begin. It begins by talking about the need for physical healing. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 4.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying.
So what impresses you the most about this story? Just hearing the opening verses. Anyone? What grabs your attention? Addison?
Well, the situation that's occurring is quite extraordinary. Here's a vast group of people. They can barely, it's just a massive crowd. They barely can get into the house. I mean, they're all around the house. And these friends, they have such a determination to meet Jesus.
Yeah, and to get their friend to Jesus, right? Yes. And Billy, what impresses you in the first opening verses of the story?
I think I need friends like that. Friends that would do anything.
Say that one more time, because that was important.
I need friends like that.
Friends
who would do anything to get me closer to Jesus.
Oh, we could end our study. Let's pray together. We need friends who'll get us closer to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That is beautiful. Yeah. What is the presenting need here? What's the presenting? What healing, Jason, is pretty obvious from the story so far?
Clearly physical healing, because this guy's paralyzed. He can't move, and so he needs to be able to walk. He's a paralytic. Mm-hmm.
So it would appear that the friends are getting their friend to Jesus because he's dealing with a physical challenge. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, we're going to see that Jesus sees deeper needs as well, mm-hmm. but that's certainly a very real need. Yeah. We don't know why he's on the stretcher, but he needs help. Yeah. Anybody have a testimony to share? Marianella?
Well, I just wanted to say, too, that what impressed me, too, is that these friends didn't care what burden it was going to be for them to carry the paralytic. Because, you know, for some people, that could be burdensome. You know, okay, it's going to take lifting him up and putting him on this kind of like a kind of yeah, to carry him. And they didn't care about the obstacles, too. It was a big crowd of people that can't get to him through those people. So, yes, they overcame obstacles. And I think about how many times did these friends look at this paralytic man. Maybe he was on the street, you know, he couldn't walk, he was there. But how many times did they pass by, and how did they become his friend, too? Mm-hmm. And
that's beautiful.
And that compassion that grew in their heart to eventually take him to the feet of Jesus, literally, so that he could be healed. But what impresses me most is yes, when Jesus sees their faith.
We're going to come to that, Marianella. I'm going to push pause right here. We're going to come to that in just a minute, okay? Because a good point Marianella's making, and that is, they're not only sacrificing their time, mm-hmm. they're going to have to repair the roof.
Yes.
So they made some commitment.
Yeah.
Now, I was asking for a testimony here, and I know, Christian, we've been friends for quite a few years. You had a time when you faced a major physical challenge, and I'm sure it was great to have loved ones around you, but also needing some healing blessing from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Share with us what happened. It's been several years ago now.
Yes, it was in 2015, so I can't believe it's been 6 years already. It seems like it was just yesterday that I was working in the yard. I was actually riding a tractor that I had borrowed from a friend, and I was loading up dirt with the front loader. And to make the long story short, I found myself riding the tractor towards a drop-off. And in that very instant, I had to make a choice, either hold on for dear life or jump out of the tractor. And as the tractor leaned over, about to fall in, I chose to jump off. But when I did, my clothing got caught on some gears right next to the seat, and it flipped my body completely upside down. And I landed on my head, right on the top of my head. It was the hardest hit I've ever experienced. And I actually broke my C2.
So you broke your neck?
I broke my neck. And the ambulance took me to the hospital soon after. And the doctor came, and he said, I'll never forget his words. He said, "You, my friend, are a lucky man." He said, "Only 4% of those that sustain these types of injuries walk away as you have."
Wow.
And during that time, there was so many moments that I was just weeping as I thought about the goodness of God and my utter dependence on him for survival.
We might use a different word, Jason, than lucky, right? From a Christian perspective, right. We would say blessed. Who was there as a revelation of the love of God for you at that moment in physical need, Christian? Just like the four friends that Marianella was just talking about, willing to sacrifice to help you in that time of need.
You know, when I was flat on my back, interestingly enough, my next door neighbor actually saw the tractor fall down into the pit from his bedroom window.
Wow.
And he immediately called 911. He did not even wait.
He knew probably something bad was happening.
Immediately. So within a few minutes, the EMTs were actually right by my side.
Praise
and
God.
And I think that was a miracle of God, too.
So next time you mow the lawn, please be careful, right? But we're reminded we need to rest in Christ every day, whatever we're doing, because we may face some challenges. Well, Shana, I'd like you to keep reading for us the next verse, which actually Marianella was about to paraphrase there. The next verse reveals that there's a need for another healing besides the physical healing. Would you read Mark 2 and verse 5 for us?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Now, Marianella mentioned about their faith. Who's the there? Is it the friends? Is it the man? Is it the man and his friends? Who's the there, would you say? Anybody? What do you think? Their faith. Is it?
I
believe it's all of them, Pastor Derek.
So could it be, like Christian, with your experience talking to the doctor and whatever, that his confidence that they're going to help you gave you courage too? Oh, yeah. The faith of those friends gave that man who laid out courage to also have faith to believe. Mm-hmm. Jason?
And the man probably still had to agree to allow his friends to take him. Mm-hmm. He could have probably resisted in some way, at least verbally, and said, no, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. So there had to be an agreement among all.
He wasn't kidnapped, okay? Exactly. Christian and Sabina?
I couldn't help but to look at this story in light of James chapter 5. Can I share a verse from that
Absolutely.
Book?
Absolutely.
In James chapter 5.
And what verse are you reading?
And let's take a look at verse 16.
All right, James 5 and verse 16.
In fact,
what translation
the very
are you
last
reading
line.
From?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version.
All right.
And in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says in the very last line, it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Mm. And what gets my attention is that is made in the context of intercessory faith or intercessory prayer, because verse 13 says, is any among you suffering? Verse 14 says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church.
So it's about healing of different kinds.
It's about healing, but the elders of the church are the ones who carry, so to speak, the sick to Jesus through intercessory prayer.
Beautiful.
And so I couldn't help but see that in the story of Mark.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing James 5. Sabina, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, what I was thinking, actually, if I were this paralytic, probably I was going to be ashamed of going to a place with a lot of people to try some sort of apparently, you know, unorthodox type of treatment. So he had to have faith because he was going to be exposed at the eyes of the whole community. Mm. And everybody knew he was a paralytic, probably had been there, I don't know for how long. So it took him this courage also to overcome this type of shame, I can think of.
And how did he respond to the gift of Jesus for spiritual healing? Well, verse 12 gives us a clue of how, Jason, maybe you could read verse 12 for us, of how he responded when Jesus asked him to do something else. Let's hear what the Bible says.
Sure, I have the New King James Version here. Mark chapter 2, verse 12. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this.
Sabina, you're right. This is out of the ordinary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus asks him to do something, he does it. Shana?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that the paralytic also demonstrated true faith, because faith is one part believing and one part acting, right? Mm-hmm. So when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, he already believed in his heart that Jesus could do it. Mm-hmm. And then he acted by actually taking up his bed and walking. So he truly demonstrated the full extent of what it means to have faith.
What we might call a living faith, right? A living mm-hmm. faith, and which would seem to infer that when the Lord says your sins are forgiven, mm-hmm. he would have used my favorite Hebrew word, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Right? He would have accepted that gift of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let's talk, what was more important, do you think, as you look at his life, Gladys? Was it the physical healing or the spiritual healing?
Well, I think they're both connected. When your body is aching and you have some type of ailment, your spirit gets some type deprived as well. And sometimes it makes you wonder and question God, and that makes the pain even deeper.
So you said he needed both types of healing.
He did.
Billy?
Yeah, I think the way Jesus, you know, answered the prayer, he didn't say, you know, physically, you know, you're whole. He went directly at the source of the issue. I think he recognized the issue that was at hand. And it's very important because even the friends, maybe they could have wished that they could provide that spiritual healing, but it was out of their control. So they did the best that they could, which was bring him to Jesus.
mm-hmm.
so
and we need friends like that, right?
I need friends like that.
Now, help me out with this. Have you ever had a time when you have felt in need of spiritual healing? If we were to follow the theme of the story, we would say, and maybe there were some friends that helped get you to Jesus, but Jesus could also come directly to you, right? Mm-hmm. Marianella, your hand is raised.
I think it kind of goes together with even physical healing. I experienced, within the last 2 years, I've experienced 2 miscarriages. And so that was part of the physical healing that I needed to go through, which is something that just even talking about it or thinking about it sometimes brings that kind of that pain a little bit back in the heart. But the more I shared it with people and when I talked about that experience, I realized that God provided even support from others. God brought people into my life that were very supportive of what had just happened. And I had to trust the Lord that he knew best, and he knew why that loss happened, why I couldn't. Mm. Mm-hmm. That baby in my hands.
Yes, Marianella.
Who knows? And he had to take me through a spiritual journey to realize that he cares for all of us very much. And that was a growing journey for me, even though now I can sympathize with people that have experienced something like that.
Sure.
And to come to a realization that one day God is coming back, Jesus is coming again to take us home, and we will not suffer anymore. We will have no more pain. We will have no more tears. And our loved ones, we will be able to see those that have accepted Christ. And so my urgency is that I share Christ with others. My urgency is now Amen. To share Christ with my daughter, the only one I have.
Yes.
She's 4 years old, and now she tells me, Mom, I look forward to meeting my brother and my sister in heaven. And I don't know if I was going to have a boy or a girl in the first one. I do know I was a little girl. The second loss. But I just tried to use what God, the experience that loss caused, to realize that I need to trust more in God. I need to rest. Even through that situation, I had to learn to even rest in the Lord.
Amen. Marianella.
Now I'm able to.
I want to thank you for sharing your heart. That's most of us here. We have tears here in the studio. We didn't realize all of the things that you've been through even recently. And you emphasize that we need the spiritual healing. We need the touch of God mm-hmm. as well mm-hmm. as the physical healing when we go through those times. And thank you for sharing that. It leads us into some other kind of emotional healing that we need. And we don't typically think of great men and women of God needing that kind of healing. But I think we all have times when we need the healing blessing of God, right? Resting in Christ, whether it's a broken neck or the loss of a baby or depression. Well, there's a Bible character, Jason, if you could take us to 1 Kings chapter 19. if we were to ask people, who's one of your Bible heroes? They'd probably say, well, Daniel and, of course, Jesus. But what about David and Elijah? But Elijah faced the challenging experience too, didn't he? Let's look in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 4.
The New King James Version says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.
Now, someone help me with the context here. This great man of God, what happened, Sabina, right before this time where he seems to be, would you say, seriously depressed? I mean, to the point of not wanting to live anymore. What's he just been through?
Yes. Pastor Derek, Elijah had been called to a group of people that were idolaters. We know that he was one of the first prophets to prophesy on the northern kingdom. And Ahab, the Bible says that was, I think, the worst or one of the worst kings with the heart that was more despicable. And they had allowed, because of Ahab and his wife Jezebel, for, you know, idolatry to grow wild in that land. And eventually God called Elijah to speak against that. And there was an opportunity in which Elijah even brought together all the prophets of Baal, which was this one of the most, you know, known gods in that group of people. And even though God proved himself to be the one true God, and still after that occasion, people were still turning to Baal. So I think that for him was really a reason to be depressive because, you know, he had done everything he could fighting against that system, and yet people would not hear God.
Now, that story that you gave us a great summary of, that showdown happened, Christian, where? What was the name of the mountain?
Mount Carmel.
Mount Carmel. And, and here's Elijah. And how many priests of Baal or Baal were there? They were like 450, I think, right?
Yeah.
He's totally outnumbered. They're cutting themselves crank to their God. Nothing happens. He prays to the one true God, Christian. And what happens when he prays?
Oh, wow. I wish I would have been there to see the sight. A pillar of fire. Fire just comes down from heaven and consumes that sacrifice. And the water as well that had been poured around the altar.
I think the rocks, too. I don't even know how rocks burn up. Everything just was consumed by a fire that came from God. So with such a great story, Addison, I mean, tell me, how could he end up here where he's wishing that he could die?
Well, he received a threat from Jezebel, a message that comes to him through a messenger, and he becomes paralyzed with fear.
So
he becomes afraid for his life. And perhaps, you know, there were some other factors as well. Perhaps he was tired. I mean, this would have been hours. When he got the message, this would have been hours just after he'd come down from where he had run in front of the chariot of Ahab, and he's at the gates of Jezreel. And he just becomes just his body, his mind, it's overshadowed by fear.
All right. So you're right. By the way, I think it's about a marathon run from Carmel. Now, he was strengthened, the hand of the Lord was upon him, mm-hmm. but he's been through this exhausting physical and emotional and spiritual ordeal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
He's in a dangerous situation. Gladys? Mm-hmm.
Well, usually when you have a huge spiritual victory, somehow, you know, the devil always tries to get a hold of you.
Sure.
And he just had, you know, Mount Carmel, and then he prayed, and the rain came after 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I guess somehow, humanly, he could have felt a little bit like, yeah, God is with me.
But then God was with him, right?
Exactly. Yeah. God is with me, and this is the proof. And then a threat for his life.
Yeah. You know, Gladys, you made a really important point. Mm-hmm. I want to just apply it to today for all of us. And Chayna, I saw your hand mm-hmm. raised too. And that is, when you say, God, I'm available, whatever mm-hmm. you want to do in me and through me, not mm-hmm. only that I can experience rest in you, but other people can experience rest in you, mm-hmm. you become a target of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And who does the enemy, and the enemy is not a person, but these principalities and powers mm-hmm. led by this fallen angel called Satan, right? Mm-hmm. And his evil angels. Who does Satan and the kingdom of darkness use to bring the attack?
Other people.
Jezebel. In the Bible story, Jezebel. Right? Jezebel. Yes. In our lives, could be anybody, right? That comes to bring an attack on us. But he's definitely in a dangerous situation, mm-hmm. very depressed. Yeah. Shana?
Yeah, Addison really highlighted what I was going to say. If physically, as human beings, experiencing what Elijah went through for the past few days, he was just tired. Mm-hmm. And there's a queen that's sending people to come and mm-hmm. take his life, yeah. right? So he's physically tired. He had been there at the showdown on Mount Carmel. He saw God work, but still our physical state as human beings, he just went through a lot. And so naturally the reaction would be like, I'm exhausted.
Right. Exhausted is a better word. Thank you, Shana. I could say I'm tired, but he was to the point of dangerous exhaustion, mm-hmm. right? Sabina?
Yeah, and I'm thinking also that during all the time when the drought came over the land, he had to flee also. So he had already been fleeing away from danger. You know, he couldn't be with his friends or other prophets of our God also at the time. He had to hide. He had to be fed by animals and all that. So I can think also that this also added to his suffering because he was so isolated already.
That's a great point, yeah. Sabina. It comes back to what Christian said about the support of friends and the stretchers. I need friends, Billy. We're going to remember that one. Yeah. I need friends who'll get me to Jesus to bring me back to God. At that point, he's all alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But someone help me. We're not going to read the whole chapter of 19. But what does God do? It's a beautiful picture for us today, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yes. A person's like, I'm done. I'm done. Mm-hmm. It's over. Just let me die, God. Right?
Yes.
What does God do? How does God meet him in that time of great need? Do you know the story, Gladys?
Yes. God provides not only rest, but food for him. And I
he
love
sends
that.
An angel, doesn't he?
He sends an angel. I love that he said he wakes him up and says, come and eat, because you have a long journey ahead. Come and eat. So he will rest, eat, and God will take care of him.
Someone can read the story, but I think it's eat, rest, eat some more, rest some more. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. it's what kind of picture does that show you about of God when we're in a time of need? Jason?
That God cares about us, because even though it is exciting to have all these experiences, you know, what he had on Mount Carmel and getting to run in front of a chariot, ultimately, we as humans, we still need rest, both physical, mental, spiritual. And so finally here, he's getting this rest, and he hasn't had it at this point. So God's like, look, you need to rest, take a break.
Mm-hmm. He'll tell him later that you're not all alone. There are 7,000 who've not bowed the knee, right? Mm-hmm. Addison and then Marianella.
Yeah, so just to add on to what Jason talked about, here Elijah, God, it's just amazing. We serve an awesome God. He meets all of our needs according to his will in Christ Jesus. But here Elijah is exhausted to the point of death, and here, God gives him a physical restoration, or meets his physical needs, in part because he has a special message to give to his servant Elijah to turn him back to the post that he has called him to.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, if you think God's given up on Elijah, he'll take him up later in a chariot of fire. So he loves Elijah.
Yeah.
And that's an important lesson, I think, that we need to learn. Marianella?
Yes, I wanted to point out something when I read that the angel touched him. Mm. I just thought, wow, you know, so many people are like angels. Have you ever experienced that somebody, mm-hmm. when I was under that experience, I remember some ladies that they just brought food. I didn't even have to, I remember I had to like open up the garage door and let them in that way. So that they just brought food and I really felt like they were like God sent angels. And I feel like some people can be God sent, like angels that will just mm-hmm. come at you and bring food or whatever it is to kind of keep you going. And God does this here for Elijah. He's like, I'm sending someone, my messenger, an angel to touch you. That's a form of encouragement. And then to help him in his physical need. And then he lets him rest again. You know?
Like, what a picture of God. What a picture of God. That's just beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. You know, sometimes, and we're going to go to one more story here in John chapter 5. Sometimes, Christian, people feel, I shouldn't be feeling depressed, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just heard the ordeal, the trauma that Marianella went through. You could get depressed losing a pregnancy and then a second miscarriage. Sometimes we feel, well, if I really love God, I wouldn't feel this way. But that's not the picture we see of how God cares for Elijah in this situation. Maybe there's someone watching today and she's depressed, he's depressed. What would you say to that person?
You know, I mentioned James not too long ago. I made a reference to James chapter 5. That same chapter actually mentions Elijah as well.
That's right.
And it speaks about Elijah being a man of great faith, but then it says, but he had a like nature like ours. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's so encouraging.
Beautiful.
Because, you know, we find these stories of superheroes, you know, and we're tempted to think they were not totally human. They were beyond human. They had this faith that I could never have. But then I read passages like the one in James that reminds me that no. Elijah was just like me.
And you know, Christian, not only does he love and care for Elijah, but he wants to use Elijah in a powerful way, right? Yeah. Gladys, I want you to take us to the story in John chapter 5. I know you've been through some health challenges in your life, and you didn't break your neck, but you had a brain surgery. That's a major challenge that you faced. Sometimes sickness can also bring discouragement. Mm-hmm. Would you read the story for us in John chapter 5? Start with verse 2 and then read verses 5 through 7. We could look at the whole chapter there, but focus on those verses for us.
I'm reading John chapter 5, verse 2, and then 5 to 7 in the New Living Translation. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me."
What do you learn from the response of this paralytic? He's been there how long?
38 years.
Jesus says to him, "Would you like to be made well?" Billy, what is the obvious answer you would think to that question?
Is yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. I've been waiting for 38 years. Why do you think he answers the way he does? There's nobody to help me. I need people that will get me to a place of healing.
Yeah, I think because he was alone. He did not have people surrounding him, just like we read earlier, that he wants to get healed, but he felt like he was by himself in that situation.
Okay, so you've given me the external reason why he would respond that way. Mm-hmm. I think there's an internal reason. I've got four hands that are raised. I'm going to go to Shayna first.
Well, he would seem sort of hopeless. I mean, he's been sitting here for 38 years, and so I would be like, it's a lost cause at this point. I, you know,
could that be depression
no one here to
too?
Help me.
Could that be depression too? Gladys, I want to come back to your experience when you were diagnosed with the brain tumor. You're a woman of faith. I mean, we've been blessed. You're part of our team here. Were there times when you struggled because of the physical condition that you were dealing with? Or did maybe God kept you strong the whole way through? I don't know the answer to the question.
Well, basically, it's like when you go, you can have a lot of faith, you know, inside of you, and you just pray about it. But when you go to the doctor and they show you in the machine and they tell you this is what is happening, you tend to your faith tend to shake a little bit because you know you serve a powerful God, but when it's in the flesh, sometimes it's just the circumstances or the reality, like that's the comment I was going to make about the paralytic as well, that he was not realizing who he was talking to.
Right.
He was saying, sir, look at me. And sometimes we tend to do the same thing. We say, Lord, look at me. You know, can you, you know, can anything good can happen with these situations? Because we look at our circumstances. But when God just sent angels, like Marinella was saying, you know, to really empower you and just remind you who you serve, the circumstances and the depression goes away.
So let's look at the word of Jesus in response to him basically saying, I don't have any external support, and I'm pretty depressed too, to be honest with you. I'm not even going to say yes. How does Jesus respond? Yes, Addison, would you read that for us, please, in John chapter 5 and verse 8?
And I'm reading from the King James Version. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk.
What does that tell you, Jason, about Jesus? If you want to be made well, I don't have anybody to help me. Stand up and walk.
He can see through the externals. He can even see what's going on, and he doesn't let that be a barrier.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Jesus could have been like, all right, fine. Well, you have issues. You don't want it? Okay, fine. I won't give it to you.
But there's a lot of other people around this pool. Yeah.
And he saw what the man really needed, and he loved him, and he was going to give it to him.
Yeah.
So listen now, in both of those stories where people were dealing clearly with some anxiety, depression, God does not condemn in either situation.
Exactly, right. Yes.
Give me some Bible promises that reinforce that we can find encouragement in God. We can rest in God and his promises, even when we're feeling physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically depleted. Give me some promises that would encourage us. Maybe someone's watching, Sabina. This is a word from the Lord, not just your opinion.
Amen.
Where would you like to read from?
So I would like to read from Psalms 34.
Psalm 34, and what verse?
Verse 17 to 19.
All right. Psalm, give us a moment to find. Psalm 34.
Psalm 34.
Verses 17 to 19.
Yes.
We're talking here about people who are feeling like they need help.
Okay.
Some words of encouragement.
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Psalms 34, verse 17 to 19, and that's what I'll say to them. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and have such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
And that is the word of the Lord. Praise God. That's a scripture song by David.
Yes.
Psalm 34, 17 to 19. Addison, do you have another promise that you would share with someone? Maybe they're kind of going through what that man by the pool of Bethesda or Elijah or maybe some of the testimonies we've heard today. What word of encouragement from the Bible would you bring to that person?
Well, I have another word of encouragement from the psalmist, and it comes from Psalms 27, verses 13 through 14, and I'll read from the King James Version.
Okay, Psalms give us just a moment to find Psalm 27, also a psalm of David. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I'm smiling because my wife put that to music, and I like to sing that in the New King James Version, but let's see how it reads in the King James Version of the Bible.
It says, I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Now, Addison's translation said, I would have fainted. Anyone have another translation besides fainted? My Bible, what does yours say, Jason?
New King James says, lost heart.
I would have lost heart. Anybody else?
Mine is the same.
Given up, you know, I mean, you can, it's like serious, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would have given up unless I had found a good reason to rest in Christ. Gladys.
Yes, I wanted to share one of my favorite passages. It's in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm. I like to sing that one too. Lamentations chapter 3. By the way, anybody on the team who wrote Lamentations under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit?
Jeremiah.
Anybody know?
Jeremiah.
It was the weeping prophet Jeremiah. That's why it's called Lamentations. Yeah. So he had gone through significant losses too, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What word of encouragement do you find, Gladys, in Lamentations 3? And you're going to read verses 22 to 24?
Yes, sir. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him.
Mm-hmm. I memorize that through the Lord's mercies, we're not condemned. We're not consumed, right?
Yes.
Wow. Totally lost. His compassions fell not. They knew every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great Christian song about that, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Great is your faithfulness,
yes.
O God our Father. Amen. Christian.
Yes, I'd like to share a passage from the New Testament.
Okay.
This one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
Now, let me ask a question while we're looking at 2 Corinthians 12. What verses, by the way, will you read?
I'll be reading verses 8 to 9.
8 and 9. Okay. While we're looking for 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9, someone might be saying, how come you know all of these encouraging Bible verses for people who are feeling in great need of healing in their lives? What's the answer? How do we find these verses? By reading the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Reading the Bible for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And here's a note. Maybe this was a note of encouragement for someone that asked for healing and maybe didn't get all of the healing they were hoping for. Mm. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Amen. You know, I was thinking you had an amazing testimony today, C2, right? Yeah. But then I think of other people like Joni Erickson Tata, who broke her neck when she was just a teenager. And she was paralyzed, but she's had an incredible ministry for Christ, and God's grace was sufficient for her. So you're saying whatever the outcome, that assurance. Now, we've studied together today about physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. Someone's watching and saying, I need that. I need that rest in Christ and that healing that only he can give. Let's talk about some hindrances. What might hold people back? Jason, can you think of any possible hindrances that might hold a person back? Why would they not want to receive the healing that God wants to give to them?
Well, for me, I think maybe fear of other people. Other people might say, oh, no, you don't need to feel this way, or there's no hope. So other people can actually be a discouragement and keep someone from wanting healing or thinking that it's even possible to get healing.
So let's go back, Shana, if we can, to the story. You don't need to read it, but you know the story in Mark chapter 2 where the friends are trying to get their friend to Jesus. Billy, I love that. I need friends like that, right? Get me to Jesus. What hindrances are they dealing with in that story, Shana?
Well, so the environment where there's other people literally physically hindering them from reaching mm-hmm. Jesus so that their friend could be healed. So right, he was so surrounded by the right group of people, his friends, but then other people were hindering him physically from reaching Jesus.
Is it possible that we could even have friends that hinder us? Sabina, you became a Christian as a teenager.
Yes.
Were there any people that tried to... I know that maybe even people who loved you,
yes,
who were hindering you from yes. getting to Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor Derek. I can think about some people that because they loved me and they thought I was going through, you know, a wrong path, they tried all they could to take me out of the church. Mm. But by God's grace, you know, I'm here still. So.
And we don't want to speak ill of or meanly about those people. They may love us, but they've not received the conviction that we've received.
Yes, and I also face that as ignorance as well, you know, Pastor Derek, not in just like a pejorative sense, but, you know, we all need to know at a certain point, learn about Jesus. And maybe these people that were trying to save me from Jesus, they still need to have that experience for themselves.
So what do we do, Gladys, if there are people who they desperately need healing, but they just don't know that there's a God in heaven mm-hmm. who not only is able, mm-hmm. but actually he loves them with an immeasurable and unfailing love. How do we help those people?
Bring them to Jesus, because mm-hmm. the only way to healing is surrendering ourselves in our thoughts. Because I was going to say that sometimes one of the hindrances that we think we deserve what we're going through. Mm-hmm. I made the decision, so I got there because
it's my fault. Deserve this. But
accept the forgiveness of Jesus. Accept the free gift that he gives you and just surrender to him.
I want to come back, Marianella, because we talked before the program about your little daughter, Abigail. She's 4 now. And we talk about letting people know that there is a God in heaven who loves us and he wants us to find... to be free to rest in him, whether we need physical, spiritual, emotional healing. What are some things that you together do to help share the truth that there's a God who loves us and wants to make us whole?
So I'm a realtor here in California, and something that we do together is she's not in school yet, so she accompanies me to open houses. And after our open houses, we... would go down the street and give little tracts, little signs of the times, information that people can look for, you know, health information or Bible studies. And we've had feedback from neighbors of those homes that we have done this at. And they said, we've looked up even the channel 368 and have found Hope Sabbath School and have kept watching it ever since. Praise God for the people that have come to know Jesus through that little bit of information. Now my daughter likes to take those tracks to the park, and we just ask people, do you know Jesus? And if they say no, then she gives them a track. And if somebody says, yes, I love Jesus, she still gives them a track.
You know, that's beautiful, little Abigail. On the back of those little tracks is a QR code which can connect you to Hope Channel. And people watching Hope Sabbath School, let me ask a question. Shana, I know you went through a traumatic brain injury back in September, an accident. And, you know, you're praying. I'm sure family members are praying. The outcome's not always the same. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How can we stay open to God's will? We're saying, God, I'm open to whatever healing blessing you have for me. How do we stay open to God's will in the midst of that journey?
I think a key component is submission to what his will is. Because I could have wanted something completely different from what God or what the outcome has been. He's worked tremendously in my life in the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. But if I wasn't submissive to what his will was, it could have looked differently. And so that included talking to God and believing and trusting my full care in His hands, and in the hands of the people who were also caring for me, such as my therapists and my doctors. Mm-hmm. And so submission to God and His ultimate will, and asking Him to make my will be His will as well, was a key part of it. And so,
That's beautiful.
Being submissive.
Thank you for sharing. I want to come back, Christian, to your testimony about breaking your neck. You have a wonderful Christian wife. You've got two precious children. How were they praying? How were they praying through this challenging time for you?
Yes. I'll never forget the moments that that I would be flat on my back, resting in on the couch, you know, during the recovery period. And Elijah and Mariah, my two children, would come to me, and they wanted to kiss me. They would kiss my cheek. They would hold my hand. And in those moments, I was overwhelmed with emotion because, you know, the thoughts would come to me that I could have, should have, you know, been paralyzed and not been able to even sense, you know, the sensation of their touch.
Or even dead.
Yeah, or even dead, of course. But as they ministered to me, and I didn't realize that.
Isn't that the kiss of God?
Yeah,
isn't that the love
exactly.
of God?
Exactly. Little did they realize that their expression of affection was actually giving me a tremendous sense of God's grace and His love for me.
Amen. Christian, thank you for sharing. And I just want to thank you for being with us. What an amazing study. Thank you, Marianella and Addison and Shana. Thank you to the team. Thank you to you for being part of our study today. You say, Pastor Derek, I want to rest in Christ. I want to allow Him to give me the healing that He knows I need, and to trust, surrender to Him in the midst of that journey. And when someone comes, Billy, thank you, friends who help us get to Jesus, or kisses us on the cheek, may we see in that revelation the immeasurable, unfailing love of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for an encouraging study today, free to rest in you, knowing you love us and want to bless us in many ways. May we rest in you even today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, don't forget to go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Push that get free gift button. Get some scripture songs you can hide in your heart. We heard some testimonies today. And then, rejoicing in the love of God, go out and be a blessing to those around you.